That was a little snippet, an intro, and we'll watch another video in a minute from Destiny Rescue. As we've been going through Let Justice Roll Like a River, this is the third and final week, and we think about how love always honours, and we're thinking about, in particular, the work Destiny Rescue does. And I don't know if you've heard of them before. I did actually mention them a few weeks back. The work they do with regards to the trafficking and sexual exploitation of children in particular. And I've been doing some research from their website this week, and I found a lot of it quite confronting, and there's some things that I ran through a filter of, I guess, one or two other people before deciding what to show you as well, because some of it is very confronting. And so, just as Gail did a couple of weeks ago, I did want to say that that if anything in this presentation is at all disturbing in a way that impacts you significantly and you want to talk to somebody, I'd encourage you to do that. And if you are on the live stream and you feel that you might like to turn off or move away, then that's fine as well. But I do hope that this morning is encouraging for us as we think about this idea of exploitation of others. It says in Proverbs, and I opened the service with a call to worship from Proverbs 22, but in Proverbs 31 it simply says this: speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly, defend the rights of the poor and needy. That's who we're called to be as God's people. And it's interesting that there's had to be a royal commission because into churches and church organisations, because the church itself has not only failed to do this, it's actually become a part of it at points. And of course, not all churches or all of the church have or are. In fact, Destiny Rescue is an organisation that has a Christian foundation. But it is very sad, and I guess undermines the work of the gospel when the church has at points become a part of what is a very evil reality. And so I want to introduce Destiny Rescue to you this morning and the work that they do. There's other organisations, and I've got a list of resources which we'll put in REMAC as well. But Destiny Rescue is one of those resources. Their website is really helpful bringing to some clarity around what the issue actually is. But we had a reading for us this morning, which was a reading from Exodus 3 that actually talks about a time when God's people were enslaved. And so the first point that I want to make this morning is that they were rescued so that they might somehow be a light to the nations. And it began with Moses being rescued. I don't know if you've ever looked at it that way, but Moses got out of the place of slavery. Not that he was living in the house of Pharaoh, not that he was enslaved, but he got out for 40 years in the wilderness. And then God found him and sent him back. And so it says in the passage you had read this morning, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering." And so this passage it's a helpful place to start, that God sees those who are suffering and he hears their cries. And he is concerned for them, because we don't follow a God who doesn't care about this. In fact, we follow a God who cares deeply about this, which is why it is that we are called to care deeply as well. So the first thing is that God sees those who are enslaved. But then as the passage goes on, it says, "So I have come down to rescue them." He has seen the enslaved and he's come down to rescue them. And so God's concern, he sees, but he then also draws near as well. And then interestingly, God says to Moses, "So now go, I am sending you." There's a typo there. It's "so now go." There's quite a few typos in the last hymn. I don't know if you noticed. I felt that it might have been half Gaelic at a few points in honour of Robin, but it wasn't. But "so now go, I am sending you." So God comes near, but Moses, who's sort of been rescued out earlier, is now, as a rescued one, sent to rescue those who now need to be rescued. And it's all part of God's plan, because he's seen and he's heard and he's concerned and he's drawn near. and now wants to do something. So he sends his servant. And this is, I guess, the challenge for us. Moses has been rescued so that he can rescue. And then it seems as though God's people are going to be rescued so they can be a light to the nations, so they can rescue others. And one of the great things about Egypt when they were doing things well, in fact, when they left Egypt, for example, they left with, we're told, hundreds of thousands of people who were not Israelites. They brought other slaves with them. They were rescued so that they might rescue as well. But the real kicker, of course, in the passage is just with Moses, with all his fear about how is it that I am going to be involved in rescuing these people. God says, I'll be with you. He doesn't call us or send us to rescue alone. He comes with us into that situation. And I think that's really important to remember. So with some of the things that Destiny Rescue and I guess other resources that I've looked at, they set a picture before you that's quite despairing in many ways, and it's quite confronting. But it's good to know that if any one of us feel led by God to step into helping in this situation, that God goes with us as we do that, which is encouraging. So who is it that needs to be rescued in all of this? And that little video just gave you a very, very little snippet. Some of the other information they have at the Destiny Rescue website is that over 1 million children are exploited by sex trafficking. And that's an ongoing thing that just continues. It goes on in the website to explain that there is a demand. There is a really evil sort of presence that is demanding that there be available children for sexual exploitation. There's a demand there, which is really sad, but that's a reflection of the brokenness of mankind. But then the problem sort of becomes worse because there's a vulnerability. So one of the things that Destiny Rescue highlights is that there are, for example, in some countries, and this is, they focus in Southeast Asia, that in some countries there are girls who are simply wanting to earn an education and they need to pay for it. There is no fee help for them. And when I say an education, I don't mean to get an economics degree or something like that. It's often to go to what we would call a diploma or TAFE course. It's to be a hairdresser or something like that, so that they can do more, I guess, break that cycle of poverty. And so the way they do that, the easiest way that is presented to them is to work in places where they are exploited. And so there is a vulnerability. For some, which are involved in the actual trafficking, often their families, because there's the demand there and money will be paid, will send their daughter away, often with a woman. So sex traffickers use women to approach families, because who would send their daughter away with a man? You wouldn't do that. And so they actually use women, which to me added another level of sadness, but that's also reflects that those women who are doing that are also a part of that cycle. They don't necessarily want to do that, but because of the demand and the vulnerability, they do. And that the combination of that demand and that vulnerability leads to the exploitation. It leads to the situation where young girls and young women find themselves in situations that are a living nightmare. Another statistic that they say is 70% of children trafficked are from the Asia Pacific region, and so that's where Destiny Rescue is focused. It tries to intercept traffickers. It tries to rescue girls from within brothels, and they often raid brothels and groups. And they also try and rehome and reintegrate and also provide scholarships for young women. So one of the things that they will do, like I said, I found this quite strange that women were involved in trafficking, taking them across borders. So that also raises less suspicion for authorities. If they're crossing a border with a woman, it's assumed that it's not a trafficking situation. And so traffickers use women to do that. But one of the ways they rescue girls from brothels is actually using men. For starters, if they have a man talking to her and buying her drinks who is not going to exploit her and abuse her, then that saves her from that happening. But also, if they do that over a number of nights and weeks, they're able to build a relationship with the girl and have a conversation with her. And often the conversation is around, why are you doing this job? Because I want to get an education, and this is the only way I can get an education. To which they respond, if you could have a scholarship that paid for your education, would you leave this work? And Destiny Rescue says, they always say, absolutely, I would leave straight away. And so one of the things that Destiny Rescue does is provide scholarships for girls. And they've got lots of encouraging videos which are confronting, but become encouraging. If you do go and watch some, if you can get through the part where it talks about how horrible things have been, there's some amazing stories of these girls who have been rescued out because they received a scholarship. They end up running their own business, either it might be a cafe or a hairdresser or something like that. They've been able to break that cycle, but without having to sell themselves. Another statistic that they have is that $99 billion is generated in sex traffickers each year, $11 million every hour. And so the time it takes for us to have church this morning, another $11 million will have been generated through the sex trafficking industry. Trafficking people who don't want to be in the sex work industry into it, forcing them in. One of the videos that I watched, which I found very confronting, was a video where the gentleman who started Destiny Rescue, they had secret cameras and microphones, were in a brothel, and he sat next to a girl who may have been 13, I'm not sure. And in that brothel, the gentleman who was in charge said to him that girl next to you, you can go into that room and you can do whatever you would like with her for $8 Australian. And in a brothel, you can sit there and talk to a girl for quite a while. You don't have to go into a room and pay that $8, but you can't do it if you're not drinking. And so he ordered a beer, and the beer cost more than it would cost for him to do whatever he wanted with that girl. And so one of the things it said was that idea of worth. Imagine your self-perception of what you are worth if a beer costs more than it costs for a man to do whatever he wants. It's very confronting and it's very sad. And so that's who needs to be rescued, I guess. There's millions of girls who need to be rescued. And that little video we saw at the beginning highlighted, I think, that thousands have been found, but millions are still there to be rescued. And so all of this for us as a church, I think one of the things about this whole series has been, what is it that we can actually do? And we can pray, and sometimes we often think that what we might endeavour to do, it's just not enough, really. And we can often find ourselves frustrated and have a sense of guilt around these things. So I want to share with you this morning, I guess, this idea of what love in action might look like if you feel that this is what God is leading you to do. In Romans 12, 9-10, and this is where we get this idea of love always honouring. It says, love must be sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, and honour one another above yourselves. We're called to do this in action, to see others as having greater worth than we have ourselves. Not because we don't have worth, it's just the attitude and the posture that we have. How do we do this? And how do we do it with this situation, the idea of exploitation and trafficking? Well, the first thing I think is pray. But not just simply to pray a prayer that says, Lord, help rescue these people. Lord, make their living hell less of a hell. But to also pray, God, what would you have me do? So to have a posture of openness. In fact, no matter what it is that we do or don't do, I would suggest that this is always the place to start. The guy who started Destiny Rescue, I don't know exactly, he does explain in the video, we'll watch in a minute, he speaks in that video, and he'll actually tell you what it is, the moment that was triggered for him that caused him to start this. There's always, you know, something, but it's important that thing that triggers us or drives us into action, that it is actually a helpful thing that we end up doing. And so praying to God and asking for his wisdom is helpful. The next thing is to investigate, and these are some of the resources, actually quite a few. There's the Australian Federal Police is the top one, and they have under what we do, under crimes and types, they have human trafficking, and they have quite a lot of information about human trafficking there. The second one is My Blue Sky, which was something I'd never heard of before this week. I don't know if you've heard of My Blue Sky, but it's an Australian website. And so once again, dealing with human trafficking, I love the name, My Blue Sky, for some people who are in forced labour situations, the idea of being able to see the sky and having freedom is something that is shut off to them. The human rights website, which is based at their office is based, I believe, at University of New South Wales. They had a lot of good resources as well. So there's a number of places you can go. The next one is destinyrescue.org.au. World Vision has some good things. And the last one there is Prayer for Freedom. So the World Vision and Prayer for Freedom, they have some good resources for prayers to pray. And I'm going to pray a prayer at the end as well that has come from one of those resources. So there's a starting point, but what I found was that there's actually a lot of information about this, because this is something that has shocked and horrified a lot of people, I guess, that this is still happening in this day and age. Not only is it still happening, it's growing, which is really sad. So there's resources there. And so with those resources, they might help you as you pray and ask God what he wants you to do. They might help bring some clarification. In fact, you might find that from that, something in particular resonates with you. I do want to point you to, just for a moment, to the Destiny Rescue website, and you probably can't read that, but that's their website, and I've opened a drop-down menu. And the drop-down menu is Take Action. And so this is one of the reasons I really appreciated Destiny Rescue, is that they have a drop-down menu for Take Action. It doesn't just say pray. It actually got a whole bunch of stuff. It also doesn't just say give money. It does say to give money, but that's not the only thing. So the top one is give. But you can be a rescue partner. You can fund a raid. You can volunteer. You can fundraise. You can join a team. And then for churches and for schools and also for businesses, they have information packs. They also have a press kit so that if the media wants to find out what Destiny Rescue does, they've got all that information. So they had a lot of information as well as a lot of practical things as to what you can do. Now, I mentioned them a few weeks ago because somebody I know, somebody in my family, instead of going to the Gold Coast for schoolies after they'd finished the HSC, yes, this was pre-COVID, they went on a Destiny Rescue trip. They went to a couple of countries, including Vietnam, and during that time, they didn't go into brothels. You know, as a 19-year-old girl, that was not the place that they were going to take them. But what they did get to do was some of the girls that had been rescued stay with Destiny Rescue and do their studies and spend time with other girls. And so this person, what they did was they visited these places where the girls had been rescued. They were asked to bring activities and games to play with them and spend time with them. And I think they sort of, for a while, thought, I don't feel like I'm doing much. I'm not really rescuing girls from brothels. You know, that's what this thing's all about. But of course, it's about so much more than that. Girls that have been rescued need other people who will just come and invest time and love into them. Because they've been, as you can imagine, incredibly broken. And so there's a lot of healing and restoration that's required. And so, you know, I love the fact that Destiny Rescue will allow people to come and join them in doing that. They're an organisation that has a lot of different ways of being involved. I'm pushing Destiny Rescue a lot. I've got my reasons for doing that, not so that you'll take it up, but just I think it's helpful that you can see there's at least one organisation, and I would suggest you do your own research and see what God might push you to do. I don't think anybody here is doing school this week in the near future. But they really do want to help build hope, bring about restoration. And the other thing that they said on that video, there were three things. There was hope, restoration. I don't know if you remember what the other one was. It was worth. And so you're dealing with people who have been given this message that you're worth less than a beer. That's the value of you. And so to be able to feed into them a worth that they, yeah, they're worth so much more than that is just so important. So we've got a little video to watch. It'll only take a couple of minutes, but I have a prayer that I wanted to share with you before we did that. And then I'll leave, I guess, the end of the story to the guy who is the guy who started Destiny Rescue, and he can tell you a little bit about that. But there's a prayer that I found during my week, which was a prayer for those who are exploited and enslaved. So I'd like to pray that now. I hope it's been helpful. I sort of feel like I'm rolling on very quickly. It's a sort of thing that actually takes a fair bit of digesting, doesn't it? So you may want to check out some of those resources for yourself, or just even spend some time in prayer and seeking God's guidance and just his comfort, because there is it sounds like a selfish thing, but when we look at this sort of stuff, there is a degree, it's called vicarious trauma that impacts us as we think about the trauma of other people's stories. I'd encourage you to be gentle with yourself as you do that, but let us pray. Loving Father, we seek your divine protection for all who are exploited and enslaved. For those forced into labour, trafficked into sexual slavery and denied freedom, we beseech you to release them from their chains and grant them protection, safety and empowerment. Restore their dignity and provide them a new beginning. And show us how we might end exploitation by addressing its causes. Help us reach out in support of victims and survivors of human trafficking, and make us instruments of your spirit for their liberation. And for this we pray through our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
What got me started on this journey was I just overheard two guys talking about a guy that went through Bangkok and he was offered children that he could do anything he wanted to with for just $400.
But I have a young little one
that's a big one. I wasn't part of the conversation and there wasn't any more detail to the story than that, but it really rocked my world. And I knew that I had to do something. As a dad of three gorgeous girls, and I remember when they were young, tucking them in bed at night, reading them stories, telling them I love them, and then they go off to sleep. And what I want is for every child to be able to go to bed and just sleep. And the ugly reality of today is many children, when they go to a bed, it's not to sleep, it's to be abused. Enough people haven't stepped up and said, enough is enough. So every single person, I believe, upon hearing of the evil that is happening to these children, have a responsibility to do something. We've heard the phrase, the silent majority. This isn't the time to be part of the silent majority. It's time for us to be the active majority. The people with a voice, people with the action behind it, the people that will give, the people that will go and do something to change this. My passion is to see this evil end in our lifetimes. I want every child to have the opportunity to go to bed and just sleep.